And welcome back to the latest and greatest episode of the Shaman Points Podcast. My name is Jayton May, joined as always by my co-host, the owner of the number one pick in the NFL draft, future fan of Mr. Caleb Williams, Quentin Crisco.
How you doing, Jay?
I am doing phenomenal because my existential hell has come true to where I don't have to worry about it anymore. I'm free. I'm free of hope. I am free of wonder. I am free of what could happen, what should happen. I'm completely free. I'm able to watch these playoffs as just a fan of football because the Dallas Cowboys will inevitably always fuck it up. And here we are in the divisional round to where I'm just free to be a fan. And as much as it pains me, I knew it was going to happen. I called it. I called it week 10 on this very podcast. I said, we're three games out of the division right now. Philly was 10, or it was maybe week 12. Philly was 10-1. We had three losses. I said, Cowboys are going to find a way to win this division. Packers are going to sneak in at the very last second, end of the season. Packers are going to sneak into these playoffs. We're going to win the division the last week of the season. We're going to play the Packers round one, and Jordan Love is going to beat us. And you called me crazy. You called me a lunatic. You called me every name in the book. Said it would never happen. And
I said you were off your noggin. Ain't happening.
Yeah, and here we are. A short 8 weeks later, and Jordan Love and the Packers going on to the divisional round. Cowboys going home, and I'm at peace. I'm at peace.
Time is a flat circle. Existence is pain. So, just enjoy football, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that was brutal. But do you want to? I proposed six new number one rules of sports gambling.
Number one rule of sports gambling. Don't sleep on the Lions. Yeah, we could roll through them. We haven't done number one rules of sports gambling in a while. Number one, we've been saying it since the draft. I was a little bit higher than Mr. Q was. But he was right there on the wagon with me. Stroud boys for life. Stroud boys stay winning. Don't sleep on the Texans. And don't sleep on CJ Stroud. Dude is a baller.
Yeah, he is lighting it up. He was, like, you always see players who just, they hit another gear when the playoffs hit. And Stroud's that guy. Like, we saw in the playoff last year, the college football playoff last year. Now we're seeing in the NFL playoffs. Yes, there is another gear this guy has hit in the playoffs that is just unreal. He is playing such good football right now, and I'm still blown away. Because like you said, we were higher on, both of us were higher on Stroud than we were Bryce Young.
But I wasn't even like knee high on Bryce Young.
Yeah.
To be fair.
But Bryce Young was a tough sell for me always. It was like, What traits are there that he can lean on that I'm seeing? Like, everyone's sold his mental processing, but where's the physical trait that he can lean on?
What is he good at other than being the quarterback of Alabama?
Yeah, exactly. It's a pretty nice job to be the quarterback of Alabama.
Not anymore.
But anyways, back to Stroud. I'd never imagined he was going to do what he's doing right now. I thought maybe he'd have a good enough rookie year to maybe be rookie of the year, but like what he's been has been just completely head and shoulders above that.
I'm not going to sit here and act like I thought he would be able to do this, but I was outrageously high on him. I thought he could turn a franchise around. I thought he could win a Super Bowl in 2 to 3 years. And with the way these playoffs look right now, He might go win the damn thing this year.
Now that would be wild.
Hey, I mean, as much as the Cowboys are in existential hell of just like constantly blowing it, let's not act like the Ravens are just world beaters in the playoffs. Like, these Lamar teams have lost to a lot worse teams than this CJ Stroud led Texans team. And we'll get into the numbers later, but I'm just saying, you put this Texans team in the AFC Championship game, and I'm not counting them out. And I think the AFC has a pretty good chance of winning this whole thing as it stands. So I'm not counting it out.
I mean, hey, all you gotta do is punch your ticket to the dance, you got a shot, right?
Yeah. This is the main reason why I would be counting him out. Mahomes is inevitable. He is, what, two playoff wins away from being second all-time in playoff wins, and the dude's, what, 29 years old?
That's such a ridiculous stat. That is so utterly ridiculous.
He's about to, like, he's one game away from passing Joe Montana. A win puts him above Peyton Manning. A win puts him above Ben Roethlisberger. A win puts him above, who is the other one? There's like five people tied with Mahomes right now, with Joe Montana being a game above him, and then Tom Brady just with outrageous numbers. But it's like, Mahomes in the playoffs. This is just inevitable.
Yeah. A guy who couldn't win in college, though. Never forget that.
He did everything he could.
For anyone who has issues with Caleb May or Drake Williams not winning, or Drake May, Caleb Williams or Drake May not winning, remember Mahomes.
Yeah. People always said, like, oh, look at his college record. And I'm like, look at what the defense gave up on average.
Yeah.
He wasn't playing DB. He wasn't playing linebacker. Like,
yeah. I mean, that they just thoroughly dismantled the Dolphins. And the Dolphins were just helpless on defense. I mean, I saw a stat that actually said that, and it makes sense because Vic Fangio is really good at his job. But when the Dolphins ran cover zero, meaning that they're blitzing max, they're blitzing everybody that they don't have to have man-to-man, to have one-on-one against any possible pass catcher, Mahomes' EPA per play, or total EPA, was like -6. And in all their plays, his total EPA was like 20. It was like, well, Fangio was just dialing up those blitzes at the perfect times, but he did everything he possibly could right. But he just didn't have the horses, and Mahomes is too good.
Yeah, so I think Brady's Super Bowls are almost going to be untouchable. Like, it's going to be damn near impossible to get to six. Like, it's got to be the most perfect situation after perfect situation. I mean, look, Mahomes has already been to three. He's about to lose his core guys. Like, Kelce doesn't have much longer. He's already kind of starting to fade off. He has a defense for the first time in his career, but it's not even close to some of the great Tom Brady defenses. So I think realistically Mahomes will get four by the time it's all said and done, unless he wins this year. If he gets his third this year, that could change, but yeah. I don't think he gets it this year. But I think playoff wins, Mahomes is going to be right there with Brady, if not surpass him, because I think he is truly just good enough to just will teams that shouldn't win to wins in the playoffs, to where Brady is like, majority of the time they made the playoffs, they were favored, and that had to do with as good as Tom Brady was, great defenses, great special teams, great perfect surrounding cast, and some of the best teams Brady had. Like, I think on DVOA, like the 2010 team that they lost to the Jets.
Yeah, I was gonna say they didn't even win.
They didn't even win, but which is crazy to think about. But I mean, year after year, I mean, they were kind of put in the best situation to win, where even some of these Chiefs teams he's already won with, it's like it was kind of already him doing it by himself, and it doesn't seem like it's getting any better for him, at least immediately.
So the second his contract kicked in, you knew it was going to be a few years before they could stack that roster back up. So, you know, you need some time for the salary cap to catch up to it.
And he will be a very team-friendly deal once the cap catches up. And they've already won one Super Bowl since the deal. So, like I said, if they could do it this year, my take on four changes. But I think he wins not this year, and then two out of the next six going forward.
Just think about this. Like, because you just triggered this in my brain. Like, there's going to be a point in Mahomes' career where, because, like, even still at this point, Mahomes is much more like heavy metal than he is jazz, right? Yeah. Like, he's much more like just crushing it, doing his thing. He's superhuman. This is Pat Mahomes. There will be a point where he becomes much more jazz than that heavy metal, but he'll still be able to kick into the heavy metal gear every now and then, and it'll just be like unstoppable. It'll be incredible to see when he goes into playoffs, and all season long he's just looked like, you know, Tom Brady out there doing it smart, doing it right, getting it out fast, and the playoffs, and it's just like, where the hell did this guy come from?
What's crazy to me when it comes to Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes is he doesn't really run a whole lot in the regular season, but it seems like when he runs in the playoffs, he's unstoppable. He takes off for a run that you're like, oh, that's going to be a 4-yard gain. Like, he might get a first down. And then, like, 15 yards later, Fat Pat is still just running down the sideline. And you're like, how is this dude doing it? Like, oh, man, it's so fun to watch. I love Patrick Mahomes. I love Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. Like, he is – can you imagine cheering for a guy like that on an NFL team? Like, we had him in college and we all loved him, but I mean, it was pretty inevitable. Like, we weren't going to get it done while he was at Tech, and that was fine. But like, I don't think Tech has ever loved a guy more than we loved Patrick Mahomes. And that's including like a Graham Harrell or a Michael Crabtree or some of the all time greats. Like, I think everybody kind of knew like Pat was different, and it was like, I really hope this translates to the next level, because like, I want to keep cheering for this guy, but like, it never does. So like, whenever he got drafted, it kind of felt like, oh, like, I hope he does good. Like, he has everything it takes to be elite, but it's like, they never work out. Like, you just, and then to get to continue to follow that career, but it's on like a throwaway team like the Chiefs. Like, imagine having that on a team like Chicago. Like, they had no chance Chicago had no chance of getting him, but it's like, just imagine, dude.
Yeah. So, you mentioned his running. And that there's two things that are wild about his running to me. And the first is, like, he has such a strong understanding of space, like the amount of space between him and defenders, the angles that he can manipulate that with, and just the timing of how he does stuff and how it's going to impact the defender. It's such a different trait that you really don't see that many guys utilize that strongly. But like Caleb, I really noticed it in Caleb Williams' tape too. It's the same thing of like, he just understands the angles and the time to hit those angles and how it's going to impact everything around him. That's what Pat does so well. And the other thing is, I think he tanked his 40 at the 40-yard at the NFL Combine on purpose, just to mess with people.
What did he run? 4.7? 4.8. 4.8. I mean, he's not even that fast when he's running. Like, he looks slow when he's running.
I know, until he doesn't. That's what I mean. He tempos his speed, and he keeps his jets on cool until he needs them, and then he just, like, starts to pull away.
So he's like Jerry Rice. Like, he can only run as fast as he can run until he needs to run faster.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that's the way he ran his 40 at the Combine. It was like, oh, what? These guys are going to think I'm slow.
No, like, it's one of those things. It's like, you can only run as fast as you can until you need to run faster. And like some guys can just do that on a 40. But like Jerry Rice, what did he throw? Like a 4.72?
I don't know.
And then like there's like proven video evidence of him burning off on 4.4, 4.3 guys, and you're like, yeah, that dude doesn't run a 4.7. It's like you can only run as fast as you can until you need to run faster. It's like,
yeah. I guess I really think the tempo has something to do with it, though. Like you just like lull them to sleep almost, and then you're like, oh, but I'm faster than that.
I don't think it's intentional, because I think if it was, he's a competitor. If it was up to him, he would have ran faster in the 40.
Yeah,
I think it's just some mental thing that it's like you can only run as fast as you can until you can't, and then you.
I like the narrative better that he planned it.
Yeah, but
less realistic. I know. I just like the narrative. So it's hysterical. Yeah. All right.
He tanked it so he could end up exactly in Kansas City with Andy Reid.
Third new number one rule of sports gambling. It's not really a rule. It's not really a rule, but just cram it up your cram hole, LaFleur.
I'll let you take this one.
No one wants to hear it anymore. No one wants you around. Just go away. Dan Quinn doesn't want you. Jerry Jones doesn't want you. The Chicago Bears don't want you in the league. Just go away. Okay? I hope this worked. Because if it didn't, I'm all out of options. That's all I got. Just go away, Green Bay Packers. Go away, Matt LaFleur. You're not welcome. So, it's not really a rule, but it's my rule. It's my new rule. All right. Fourth new rule of sports gambling. Fourth new number one rule of sports gambling. We talked about this a little bit on the show last week, because all season this year, it was apparent that Sean McVay was a witch. He was the best witch in the NFL. His roster was missing all this talent. He somehow just kept winning. Somehow Matt Stafford's elbow was fine. Somehow, like, he's a witch. It's the only solution. It's like Monty Python. If he weighs equal to wood, that means he floats, and he's a witch.
So, I think Jared Goff is just the demon slayer, the vampire slayer. I don't think it's Jared Goff is now the king witch. I think Jared Goff just defeated the witch, because everybody and their mother was talking about how Jared Goff was just a throwaway in that trade. Like, I talked about it last week, and it's like, he wasn't really even a key piece of that trade. He just had to be traded for financial reasons.
Yeah.
And for him to be able to defeat Sean McVay and the Rams after an incredible season, after they find a Puka Nacua, Puka Laduka, after they find a Kyron Williams, after they have this great season, they piece everything together, and you're like, this is where the Lions lose. They lose this game.
There you go.
They don't lose that game. Jared Goff wins that game, because Jared Goff says, heckin' to you, I'm going to win this game, because I am the witch slayer. I'm the king slayer. And he's led a team to the Super Bowl before, and maybe it was all Jared Goff, and Sean McVay got lucky with Matt Stafford's first year, and Cooper Kupp just had the best season of his life, and they signed Odell Beckham right at the perfect time, and maybe it was all just luck. Maybe if they would have stuck with Jared Goff, they would have 4, 5, 6 Super Bowls by now. Who knows? They could have 7 Super Bowls by now if you don't look at the years. So maybe Jared Goff was it the whole time, and him and Dan Campbell, old Danny C, are just gonna find their way to the promised land.
There's two things you can't slay witches without. You need to be against the witch. So Jared Goff wouldn't be the King Witch Slayer until he's facing off with the King Witch.
King Witch.
Right? So he needed that opportunity. And two, he needed coffee. That's why Dan Campbell's there. That guy's always got coffee.
All Danny C and some kneecaps.
All right.
They had to sacrifice one of their young bucks. They had to sacrifice Sam Laporta's kneecap to win that game. And Sam Laporta just said, I don't need a kneecap to go beat this team. Take my kneecap. We will sacrifice it to the gods and we will still win this game.
I was wondering how that injury happened. That makes that adds up. That adds up. The math works out. The math. All right. Fifth number one rule of sports gambling. Josh Allen is football.
And football is Josh Allen. Do you have the tweet that you sent me?
I can pull it up.
Okay. So
it's the perfect embodiment.
So what Josh Allen did to the Steelers team should be illegal. And everybody's focusing on this quote unquote fake slide. The dude just stopped running and he's a very large white man that runs very fast. He doesn't really have the skirts that you need whenever you're running full speed. That was not a fake slide. That was him just trying to slow down and keep going. And then they bring up immediately after that he actually slid and got his head knocked off. They're like, so what are you supposed to do? You can't hit him when he acts like he's about to slide. But when he does slide and you hit him because you think he's going to fake, you get a 15-yard penalty. It's impossible to defend. No. If you hit him the first time, there's no penalty. The dude just awkwardly stopped running full speed.
Like, the tackler did hit him the first time. He just bounced off him.
I saw another angle of it.
On that play, like I actually watched it over and over because I was trying to figure out, did Josh Allen truck this guy? Or did this guy just miss so badly it looked like he got trucked at that angle? Because the angle was really weird. And then I saw another angle. It was like, oh no, yeah, Josh Allen trucks that guy.
Like, yeah. This is insane. And I mean, Josh Allen is so much fun, but yeah, I mean, Josh Allen's football, but sometimes football loses. And I don't know if I'll ever see a Josh Allen Super Bowl, but the Josh Allen ride will probably be the most spectacular, fun performance we'll see in the next decade.
That's what's so perfect about the statement, Josh Allen is football. It is the embodiment of like ups and downs and chaos and things that just don't make sense happening. And like, that's Josh Allen.
And the overwhelming majority of football doesn't win championships.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Man, I want to see the Josh Allen championship ride, though, so badly. Because you know it's going to be utterly insane. Like, the things that he will do will just be completely bonkers. And here's the tweet you were talking about. It was Robert Mays tweeted this out. Josh Allen is like a human monster truck with the soul of a labradoodle that's fueled by Four Loko. And I don't think I've ever heard anything more accurate.
Yeah, it's a perfect embodiment of what you see on the field. I mean, if we're going to see a Josh Allen championship, this is probably his best bet since he's been in the league. So get it done this weekend, and you got the Texans at home in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, I've been saying it for a few weeks now. I just got this gut feeling that Josh Allen is going to hit the stride right in the playoffs of just like the pure, it's like the hot, crazy scale. It's like Josh Allen's going to hit that axis on it of like the insane versus good scale and just go nuts.
If the Bills make the Super Bowl, I'm going to call Beasley Bills jersey.
There you go. Will you buy his rap album, though?
No.
All right. Last number one rule of sports gambling.
We've been saying it for years.
Never doubt a Baker scored.
He just mushroom stamped the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Eagles.
Yeah, the Eagles. He just took out his wiener and just beat the shit out of him with it. This dude. I mean, what else is there to say? Like, so last year, a much better Tampa Bay team lost, led by Tom Brady, to the Dallas Cowboys, who are perennial chokers in the playoffs, only to return the next year with a Baker scorn against the defending NFC champions and just put them to bed. Put a pillow out for them, laid them down nice and tight, tucked them in, and said, "See ya, we're on our way to the divisional round." Like, it was never even close. Like, tush, push my ass. Like, nope, can't do it, won't do it. We got Baker fucking Mayfield over here. Like, oh, Mike Evans can't get open? Oh, you're going to triple team Mike Evans? Don't matter. I'm just going to hit my third receiver for a 30-yard out that turns into a 65-yard touchdown because I'm Baker Mayfield.
Who was it? Don't care. Who was their leading receiver? It was, God, what's his name? Trey Palmer? Probably. Trey Palmer, I think it was. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
He was their leading receiver, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I can't even think of a random name right now.
Scotty Miller.
But Scotty Miller. It could have been Scotty Miller, and it didn't matter because you got Baker Mayfield. You got Baker Mayfield earning $500,000 for a playoff win. You got Baker Mayfield doing what Tom Brady couldn't do, is beat an NFC East team in the first round of the playoffs at home.
You know what?
Tom Brady ended his career on a pick six to DeMarcus Lawrence. You know how Baker Mayfield's gonna end his career? Dick stamping the Eagles.
You know that? I didn't realize he had an incentive, a $500,000 incentive too.
Yeah, it
almost makes you wonder if more quarterbacks need a big bonus for a playoff win, just to get their psyche right, just to get like the certain, like the nerves of it up a little more.
Like, out of everything that happened over the weekend after the Packers beating the Cowboys the way they did, the Texans beating the Browns the way they did, I would say the most shocking thing that happened over the weekend was how Tampa Bay beat the Eagles in every facet of the game. And you look at this Tampa Bay team and it's like, they're not good. They're off the ball. Linebackers are incredible. Levante David is playing out of his absolute mind right now. Baker Mayfield played a great game. And DVOA said this was the biggest mismatch on spread. Eagles were 2.5-point favorites. DVOA thought that the Buccaneers should have been 1.5-point favorites, so that was a 3-point swing in Vegas compared to DVOA. Huh. But to beat them the way they did is,
makes me wonder,
mind blowing.
So, if
I only know that because the creator DVOA was on Pardon My Take a couple days before, and he's basically said, like, you're stupid if you don't take Tampa in this game.
Yeah. So right now, like, obviously this is a game later, like after, but the direct matchup shouldn't actually change that much, I don't think. Because one of my 10 models that I use, that I run, yeah, and I combine them all into the model, is a DVOA-based model. And that has Tampa as 5-point favorites against Philly right now. So it was probably two or three the other day.
So they had the creator of DVOA on Pardon My Take.
Aaron Schatz.
And Schatz. And they were asking him, who's the dark horse in these playoffs according to like your metrics? And he was like, by every metric possible, like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like their value should be, like they should be valued much higher as like a Super Bowl contender than they are. And he was like, not saying that they're better than some of these other teams like the 49ers or the Cowboys or the Baltimore Ravens or the Chiefs or the Bills, but he was like, the fact that they're being undervalued so drastically, he was like, they are far and away the best value in the playoffs.
Hey, the model liked him. I liked him.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was more than one model that liked him. I mean, so in this first deviation of the model, because I have my first deviation was just three different models.
Yeah.
The EPA model said that they should be 2-point favorites as well.
They closed at 3-point underdogs.
Yeah. I don't remember what the regression model said, but that's... I can probably punch it in real quick and see.
That was... And what's crazy is that the sharp money was on the Eagles still. Even with all these advanced analytics saying that you should take the Bucks. Vegas still won on that game.
Yeah, my weighted linear regression model had them as four point favorites too.
That's crazy how all the analytics scream Bucks. The money, the big money at the end of the day was still on the Eagles. That is wild that you see analytics on one side, Vegas on the other, and Vegas wins.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
That's how they get you. That's how they get you.
Follow the analytics, I guess. Follow the numbers.
Everyone follows their heart, though.
I mean, I didn't bet the game. I was like, everything tells me that Tampa should have won this game. And I was like, am I really going to bet Tampa Bay versus this Eagles team? Like, even without AJ Brown? Like, I'm like, that. But now I'm looking at this Tampa team going to the line. We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to it. You want to start with the Texans-Ravens?
Yeah, Texans-Ravens. Okay. Big line. Okay, so these teams played week one. CJ Stroud's very first game in Baltimore. So CJ Stroud starts his NFL career going to Baltimore. Loses the game, I believe, if I remember correctly, 23-9. So, loses by 14 in his
NFL. It lost by 16. So, it was probably 23-7.
It might have been 26-9. I know they didn't score a touchdown.
I think that's right. I had in my notes it was 16, though.
Okay. I know they didn't score a touchdown. So, a young CJ Stroud, first NFL game, loses by 16. But if you watch the game, I remember watching the game. It always felt like the Texans were in it. And
it was 6-7 at half.
Yeah, it never really felt like Baltimore took control of the game. And these are two completely different teams, obviously, by now. But you're giving me Texans +9 with the way D'Amico Ryans is coaching up this defense, because let's not act like that defense didn't come alive. And I know it was against Joe Flacco, and Joe Flacco is very, very streaky, but that defense dominated the Cleveland game. And say what you want about the Cleveland offense, but they've been running hot here lately. And then CJ Stroud was just on point. You're giving me this Texans team with the way CJ Stroud looked and the way D'Amico Ryans had that defense up at 9 points. Give me Texans +9 and give me over 45.5 in this game. I think this might be the most fun game in the divisional round.
Yeah, I mean, I just noticed something weird in my numbers. Sorry about that. I'm with you. I got Houston +9.5 on this one. And the model likes it too. The DVOA model says that it should be an 8.9-point spread. So that's right there on the number. Like,
yeah.
That one's close. But the EPA model says it should be a 5-point spread. My Pisen model says 5.6. And my weighted linear regression model says it should be 13.3. So that one disagrees with it. But
if you look at this takes me back to my Cowboys take where the inevitable always happens. Like, where have we seen Baltimore led by, I love Lamar Jackson. You know I love Lamar Jackson. Baltimore led by Lamar Jackson and Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, really go and dominate and win a playoff game. They've lost to some a lot worse teams than what this Texans team is playing right now. And if I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan right now, I'm absolutely terrified. I'm not taking Texans on the money line, but if Texans win this game, I'm not going to be shocked.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, I think that there's a real chance. I mean, you only have to look at Lamar Jackson's playoff history. Like, I want to believe that that is not that, that was more a Greg Roman thing than anything. But until we see it, I don't know.
It's always something. It's always something else until that something else isn't there. Then it's something else after that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a Cowboys fan. There's always another reason for it. So sometimes it's just inevitable.
We can move on to the next one. We got the fucking Packers going to San Francisco. And what do you think, okay, here, Jay?
Okay, so before we started this, I wrote down Packers plus 9.5, and I was like, they played a perfect game against the Cowboys. Matt LaFleur is phenomenal. And I just had a moment of clarity. There ain't no way the Packers are even sitting on the field with this 49ers team. 49ers are going to fucking walk their shit home. Packers couldn't beat the 49ers with Aaron Rodgers playing at an all-pro level at, like, three-time MVP. What the fuck makes me think Jordan Love could keep up with this team? Give me the 49ers minus 9.5. Give me 49ers alternate spread minus 14. Give me the Niners on every level of this, because the Niners beat the shit out of the Packers like the Packers beat the shit out of the Cowboys. And I don't know why I even contemplated on taking the Packers before this podcast. Give me the Niners. Niners are going to wipe the floor with them. I don't care who plays quarterback for the Niners. It doesn't matter. The Packers lose to the Niners like the Cowboys lose to the Packers. It's inevitable. I can't believe I even wrote down the Packers. I'm ashamed of myself. 49ers are going to destroy this team.
Yeah. I mean, I have... So, let me look at my notes here. I have in my notes, Kyle Shanahan taught Matt LaFleur how to play football. San Francisco is going to obliterate them. I don't think this game is going to be close. Shanny's coming off a bye week. It's a bad matchup for Green Bay personnel-wise. One of the reasons Green Bay beat Dallas, I think, is because the personnel just does not match up well. Green Bay likes to stay heavy. They like to run a lot out of 12 personnel. Dallas has a pretty light defense. Their linebackers are smaller guys. They can't match up as well with that. San Francisco has no problem. San Francisco likes to do the same thing on offense. They're built on defense to stop that. They're built on defense to stop so many things. Like, I don't think Green Bay can hang with San Fran. I really don't. If Jordan Love can hang points on this defense, I'm officially terrified. Let me just put it that way.
You're not, like, terrified right now?
Not yet. Not yet. I'm worried, but worried and terrified are two very different things. If Jordan Love is going out there hanging 30 points on the 49ers defense this year, a defense who is a bad matchup for them, then I'm officially entering Aaron Rodgers' level of worry.
I don't know. The way Jordan Love fucking did some of the things that he did, I'm worried about that young man. I haven't been worried about that young man. I know as a Bears fan, you got to play him twice a year, but, like, I don't know what's more humiliating, is consistently losing to a team in your own division or consistently losing to, like, we've lost 9 out of 10 to the Packers in the last 15 years. So we're both kind of in the same spot with this fucking team. I just want them to die. I hate them, but I'm officially in panic mode about Jordan Love.
I want to make an important distinction there. Like I said, I'm worried. I'm not terrified.
I'm petrified.
I'm not there yet. Because a lot of stuff went right in that game script to play into what Green Bay wanted. The real impressive spots for Jordan Love were in the two scripted drives early. Beyond that, I wasn't, I don't feel like I was as impressed as much as it was Matt LaFleur is pulling the right strings here and stuff is looking good. Like, but that first drive, there were, let me put it this way, there were a few plays in there. Like the one where it was a sick throw, the 40-yard gain, the busted coverage on the Tampa 2, which I don't know why the hell Dan Quinn is running Tampa 2 there. But anyways, where the safety, who's not used to playing Tampa 2, who would think he'd make a mistake when he should start asking him to play Tampa 2, goes over the middle and leaves the receiver to get wide open up the right hash. Jordan Love hesitates on that throw. He hesitates and then he stops and goes, no, Matt said trust it, and then guns it. The fact that he made the throw while getting hit is what's impressive, but there's still that tick of processing that makes me wonder how much of this is LaFleur versus Love.
I hope you're right.
I do too. And like I said, that's the difference to me between being worried and being terrified. Because being terrified is once I know it's all Jordan Love. And I'm not there yet.
I mean, the thing that terrifies me is I said the same things about Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers at this point in their career. And now look at Mike McCarthy's a castaway on the team that Jordan Love just beat the fuck out of. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
I've seen this before.
Part of me says, what are the odds of it happening two times in a row? Like,
what are the odds of them going from fucking Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers to now Jordan Love? I mean, none of the odds make sense. They're the luckiest fucking franchise in the world. I hate them so much. I know as a Bears fan, you can be like, oh, you don't understand the hate for the Packers. I don't think you understand my hate for the Packers. I hate this team. I hate this team more than any team in my division. Like, I hate the Packers. And they just keep getting away with it. And it's like, how do they keep getting away with it? I'm just a broken man.
Oh, trust me. I was there once. They beat you into submission at some point where you just kind of get numb to it.
But they're in your division. I already have these battles. I have these battles with three other teams. I have these battles with the 2007 Giants, who had no business being on the field with the Cowboys, who just fucking go on to fucking win on a Mario Manningham slant route from 34 yards out, then go on to win the Super Bowl with one of the worst teams you've ever seen win the Super Bowl when the Cowboys were fucking 14-2. And then I see it again with the Eagles. I see it with the 49ers when they get RG3. I have to deal with all these other teams and still have to deal with the fucking Packers whenever we can overcome the other three teams. It's just hell.
I would say I went through that level with the Packers probably around like 2010 to 2014. And 2014 is when they broke me.
It's been 2008 to now? So what?
Yeah, you don't play them twice a year. They utterly broke me. And I have been a broken man since then. And it just, I hate them. But you know what? I just expect it at this point.
I can't keep running away with it. What do we got to do? What do we got to do as fans to stop this? Like, I'll do some jail time. Like, what do we got to do? Like, what does it take?
I don't know. You kill one, they come back stronger. So I just don't know. But what I do know is the 49ers are going to fucking obliterate them.
Always do. I hate... So, this is the worst part about it. As much as I hate the Packers, 49ers are right there with them. It's just like, which one do you hate worse? It's like, I actually kind of like Kyle Shanahan. I like Christian McCaffrey. I'm just naming white guys. I like George Kittle. But no, I like Debo. I like Brandon Ayuk. I like Fred Warner. I got to diversify a little bit there. But no, I like this 49ers team. I historically hate the 49ers. But please, like, if the 49ers lose this game, I will be the most broken I've ever been in my football fandom.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. They broke. Packers already broke me. Broke me beyond repair, so I don't know.
But, yeah. 49ers by a billion. Every alternate spread available.
You know what it was when they broke me? Last week of the season in 2013. The Chris Conte game. That broke me. That I was never to be fixed again.
Well, at least you didn't have to watch Aaron Rodgers deliver the greatest throw in football history to fucking a third string tight end, only for Mason Crosby to hit a 54-yard field goal to win the game at the end of the season whenever your team's 14-2.
Yeah. I think it almost hurts worse when it's just dumb fucking luck that keeps your team out of the playoffs and the Green Bay just ran the table. But
we gotta do something about this. Like,
it's getting dark in here. We gotta get off the Packers.
I'll go to jail.
Bucks at Lions. Lions are 6.5 point favorites, total of 48.5.
I'm taking Lions in this game. And I know we said don't take a Baker scoring, but Jared Goff, when are we gonna start putting some respect on this man's name? Okay. Dude's been to a Super Bowl. He's played well. This dude, he's pretty clutch. Got a phenomenal team around him. A great rookie tight end. Like, their biggest flaw is that they go away from their best running back as soon as they start having any success at all. If they just ran Jahmyr Gibbs into the ground this year, they probably would have been the 2 seed to start out with. And they would have had the Packers in the first round. Like, it is crazy how much they just refuse to let Jahmyr Gibbs touch the ball, because they are so much better team when he touches the ball. But outside of that, I mean, Jared Goff, can we get like a Jared chant going to the chat or something? Like, this dude
Jared
deserves. Jared. That almost sounds like Jared. I mean, this dude deserves so much credit and more, and he just doesn't get it. He never gets it. He didn't get it when he was with the Rams. He doesn't get it now. Like, at what point do you look at all the quarterbacks in the league who are in good situations, who do less with more, than when you look at Jared Goff and you're like, oh, it's because of this, or it's because of this, or it's like, or maybe it's just because he can get it done. Because so many other quarterbacks who are more talented or better, whatever it is, it's always, oh, it's just Jared Goff. The motherfucker just gets it done. Like, I am so tired of hearing the slander. This motherfucker is going to go to the Super Bowl this year. Give me Jared Goff and the Lions -6.5 in this game.
So, before I give my pick, did you ever listen to the podcast series, The Play Callers?
No.
You should. Because it will give you more ammunition on your Jared Goff.
More ammunition?
Oh, yeah. So let's go. When after they lost that Super Bowl in L.A., McVay and Goff, the Rams, after they lost the Super Bowl to the Patriots, McVay got a little psychotic about competition and practices, about everything being pretty cutthroat competition-wise in the building as far as offense versus defense and practices. and it started to break Jared Goff from my memory of the podcast a little of like, if everything is about making life hell on the defense in practice, and everything on the defense side is about making life hell on the offense, there's no room for quarterback development in that environment. There's only room for breaking a quarterback's confidence and spirit. And that is kind of what happened based on what was talked about in that podcast. You need to go listen to it. It's like 6 episodes, an hour each. It's incredible. But it's going to give you more ammo from that front of like what happened to Jared. Cause that was the big question when it all kind of started to go downhill for him. It's like, what happened here?
Well, the Patriots defense was really fucking good. And it's Bill Belichick, and they called a perfect game. And
it was like 2-3 years after that, though, of like, he got bad for a stretch.
Yeah. I mean,
and it there are answers in that podcast of why that happened, because that was when it was happening. It was just kind of written off like, oh, well, it was just all McVay and it's time's up, you know?
So, yeah. So I haven't listened to the podcast, but my take on Jared Goff is that he is a top tier second level quarterback. So what those guys include, like, a Kirk Cousins, a Dak Prescott. You could throw Trevor Lawrence in there now. You could throw the Chargers quarterback that can just never make the playoffs no matter what he does.
Yeah, you could throw just like everything's there, but it's never quite working.
But I would throw him at the top of that list because he's proven that he can get it done. He's proven that he can get to the dance. He's proven so many things. It's like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you Jared Goff is on the level of a Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow. Shit, even maybe CJ Stroud at this point. But like, he is, in my opinion, the absolute top of the list of whatever that next group is that you want to say. You want to put all your top QBs here? He is first in line on that next tier. And with the right situation around him, I think he can get it done. And I'm tired of the Jared Goff slander. I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely sick of it. One of my good friends actually played high school football with Case Keenum, who was the quarterback in LA when Jared Goff got drafted. And just hearing some of the things, like, I'm sure every number one overall pick, people are going to glow about. But just hearing some of the things that Case Keenum had to say about Jared Goff, and, like, it was kind of like the throwaway comments, just, like, about how he deals with things, or about how he sees things, or about, like, his perspective just on life in general, and, like, the type of guy he is. Like, he's just... I just feel like he's just one of those guys that, like, in the perfect situation gets it done. And they're like, you say, oh, well, there's a lot of guys in the perfect situation who can get it done. I mean, you look at Dak Prescott, can't get it done in the perfect situation. You look at Kirk Cousins, can't get it done in the perfect situation. You look at Justin Herbert, can't get it done in the perfect situation. You look at Trevor Lawrence, can't get it done in the perfect situation. It takes more than a perfect situation. You have to be a mentally strong, good quarterback to get it done in a perfect situation. And a lot of guys can't do it. And he's proven that he can get to the dance. And I think this is Jared Goff's year. I think it is.
I thought the podcast was really interesting.
Because I'm definitely going to look into it.
Gave that perspective of like why the struggles happened.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as simple as, well, McVay's been propping him up this whole time and he can't anymore, you know, which is what it was written off as. And with the whole like quarterback conversation, I always like to think of it as like there's two separate groups. I even have a hard time saying it's tiers, but there's, on this side, you have your quarterbacks who are the system, right? It's like, it doesn't matter what system you're in, what you want to do, this guy is the offense, and you will cater to him. That's where you have your Pat Mahomes, your Josh Allens, your Lamar Jacksons. Like, they are that good. Yeah, Joe Burrow's in there. Although I do start to question a little bit with Jake Browning doing what he did this year. But he's still
in. Are we starting to put some respect on Tax Aylor's then?
Tax Aylor's getting some respect. It's time.
It's about time.
And then on the other side, you have quarterbacks who work in a system. And I think those can be near as valuable as the other side at times, with the right head coach, with the right play callers in place. And that's where I think Jared Goff is. I think he's at the
top of this side.
Yeah, it's just a different way of explaining the same thing. But anyways, back to Bucks Lions. Give me over 48.5.
I think I have that too. I forgot to put that out. I have that too.
Over 48.5 feels like a lock to me. Detroit's cornerbacks had a tough time against the Rams. I think the Bucks have just as much wide receiver talent as the Rams do. I mean, like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I mean, maybe it's a little lower than Cup Nakua, but like I think it's pretty similar. And then I just think both these offenses are going to be able to score points. I said last week, I'll say it again this week, I still don't trust the Lions D line without
You got it. DT.
Aleem McNeil. Without Aleem McNeil. I want to say Telvin McNeil. I was like, that's not right. Without Aleem McNeil, like, since he's been gone, I don't think the run defense is the same. I think the Bucks will be able to get Rashad White going. I think the Lions are going to answer any and every score, so the over just makes all the sense in the world.
No, I like that a lot.
All right. Last game for the divisional round. The chef's kiss. The bon appetit. The one we all want to see. Chiefs Bills. Bills are 2.5-point favorites, total of 46.5. What do you think here, Jay?
Said at the beginning, Mahomes is inevitable. And I don't know how this happens, okay? I got Chiefs plus 3, to be fair. So I got Chiefs plus 3. And I have under 45.5. Something about Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. Defense plays better. Offense plays better. Rashee Rice, who's been very, very good all year, just has his probably his best game of the season in the first round of the playoffs. Guys step up around Patty Mahomes when the lights get bright. And I know they've never had a road game in the playoffs. That's okay. You big players step up when big players didn't make a play. And I think the Chiefs get it done here. I like Chiefs money line. I'm taking Chiefs plus 3. And I like the under here because I think the Chiefs are going to be able to control the ball, run the ball with Isaiah Pacheco, who hates the world. Like, I don't, when I say hates the world, like, he doesn't dislike humans. He literally just hates the world where he's trying to destroy the world when he runs. Like, you look at his
feet. He hates grass, personally.
No, just the world. He would do the same thing on water.
Okay. That's a good point. It's sand. Yeah.
It's sand. Like, it doesn't matter. He's just trying to destroy the world when he runs.
And he just wants to know what's under the ground.
I think they're going to be able to control the clock and keep this a time of possession game. And I think if the Chiefs are able to kind of turn this into a long possession offensive game, the Bills might start to panic a little bit. And when Josh Allen panics, he either does great or he turns the ball over. And I could see some Josh Allen turnovers here. I could see the Chiefs dominating the time of possession and winning a 23-16 game here. Yeah, I love the Chiefs in this spot. I think they can control a game more so than the Bills can keep up in a game like that. And so if the Bills win this game, it's going way over. Let me get that straight. So I'm either winning one or both of these.
Yeah.
There's no way the Bills win if this goes under. I don't think that's possible.
I'm taking, so I agree with you on some of that stance where, like, if the Bills win, it's definitely over. But I do think there is a lot of ways it goes over with the Chiefs winning, just because I cannot count Pat Mahomes out of a gunfight. Like,
that's why I said I can win one and not both.
Oh, yeah. I got you.
Because I think the Chiefs can win. I think the Chiefs can win with this going over.
Yeah, I see. I was thinking different, but you said it the right way. But my notes on this, I always like Patty Mahomes as a dog, so I'm sprinkling the money line. Like,
no.
Pat Mahomes at plus money is just, you can't ignore it. You need to hit it. So 12, I put a half unit on that. That's 12, not an official play.
12 playoff games in 6 years.
Yeah.
12 playoff wins in 6 years.
Yeah. So I also like the over. I'm taking the over on this. I just think there's too much explosiveness between these two quarterbacks for me to ignore it.
Chiefs aren't explosive, though. That's my only thing.
They are if they need to be, I think.
We haven't seen it. We haven't seen it, but yeah. I mean,
I think they'll find ways to be. I think Andy Reid has a whole different playbook in the playoffs.
If they find a way to be explosive, I think they can run away with this game and just leave Orchard Park in shambles.
If this is the under, it means MVS and Kadarius Toney dropped balls in big moments. If it goes over, it means they caught it.
Yeah. That's probably true. So.
Yeah, it's just nothing else matters except for this game. I can't wait for this game. This is going to be electric.
This is the
going to be electric. This is just Pat Mahomes against Josh Allen is the football game I always want to watch.
I think the bookends for this weekend are incredible. I think Houston, Baltimore will be a great game, and I think this will be a great game. Lions, Tampa, Niners, Packers have some potential, but I think the two best games are the bookends. I'm so excited for Houston, Baltimore, and I'm so excited for this game. I might crown the Super Bowl champion off this game. Just a little heads up.
Yeah, maybe.
Might crown him.
I mean, it all. I need to see what Lamar does before I can crown anybody. Because if Lamar comes out and he's looking like a different dude in the playoffs,
yeah,
then that changes stuff.
It does change stuff. But I think that about does it, unless you got anything else.
That's the show. That's a wrap. That's all I got. That's all I'm here for. It's all I'm on this earth for right now is playoff football.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to watch it just with no expectations. I don't care. I kind of care. I have some leans, but no. Just to be done with hope and expectations is just such a freeing feeling. It's always the best part of my year, but I don't have to worry about it anymore. So, super excited. And we've said it, 23 weeks in a row now? And we're not going to stop saying it? Don't sleep on them Texans.
Don't do it. Adios.